Jill Sprecher is the director of the critically acclaimed film 13 Conversations About One Thing. Jill wrote the screenplay with her sister, Karen Sprecher. The Sprecher sisters sat down to talk with Steve Paulson about their movie. Jill explained where the idea for the film came from.
I think a lot of the stories in 13 Conversations are autobiographical. One of the major episodes in my life was getting mugged in New York. I was hit in the head with a bottle thrown by a stranger. And when I first moved to New York, I was sort of this shiny-eyed optimist, like a character in our movie, and quickly became sort of the kind of person that looks over my shoulder and is a little bit more suspicious of people.
So that one incident really changed your outlook on life.
It did, certainly for a while. And, you know, I think for as long as a year after that, I started to have kind of a really negative feeling about other human beings. And then about a year afterward, you know, when my hair started to grow back and everything, I was on the subway and I remember the brain surgeon had warned me, don't ever get hit on this particular side of your head again. And a man walked through the subway car and just slapped me on the head and kept walking. I felt like I had a sign on me or something. But I just started crying, like, you know, in front of people, but not loud or anything. And I noticed there was a man sitting right across from me that sort of witnessed the whole thing. And he just looked at me and smiled. And I think, you know, it was something that was very therapeutic for me because it happened right at a moment when I was just thinking everybody was really callous. Hmm.
So it was just, even though this man was a total stranger, mm-hmm. the fact that he smiled at you mattered.
It did. I think because it coincided right with this thought in my head about, boy, people are mean. And then I looked at him and it was a very kind sort of empathetic gesture on his part that, you know, helped me out of what I was feeling.
So, Karen, do any of those issues resonate with you of just sort of, I don't know, the meanness of the world or what happiness means, those kinds of things?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we've lived in New York City. No, which actually is the greatest place. I think I'm more like the John Turturro character in our movie, someone who's always looking ahead and not happy with what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it a physics professor?
Yes.
That he is? And he's the one who really wants to figure out life. And he's actually the most self-conscious about searching for meaning, for what it's all about. But he's also the most miserable,
right.
It seems to me.
That's me. No, I'm just joking. You know, when you think too much about it, all of a sudden it's like, maybe I'm not happy.
Yeah. But we quote utilitarian philosopher in the film, John Stuart Mill, who says, ask yourself if you're happy and you cease to be so. That's something actually John Turturro's character's wife says in the film. And I think it really, you know, if you try to analyze something too much, it sort of automatically is going to destroy the emotion.
Now, this film, it seems to me, is almost a philosophical meditation on some of the really big issues in life, like happiness. What does mm-hmm. it take to be happy? The importance of chance encounters, just something that might totally happen out of the blue, that it's possible that could actually change your life. I mean, you really play with some of those ideas.
Yeah, and we're hoping they don't scare people off.
I know. Will that sell tickets? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I definitely, all of the sort of ideas in the movie are things that we pondered, and even while we were writing it, you know, I think they're questions in everyday life that people eventually at some point ask themselves and maybe do on a daily basis because, you know, Karen and I started writing the script based on a single character, which is a character in the movie who's really a blind optimist. He plays the happy guy who mm-hmm. has this wonderful attitude. And the person most worthy of our envy, one of the biggest influences when we were writing, I brought back a text that I'd read a long time ago when I studied philosophy, a book by Bertrand Russell, The Conquest of Happiness. You know, I think it was written almost 100 years ago, but everything in it still applies to, you know, the world today and how we sort of create our own stumbling blocks toward, you know, achieving happiness. But it is something we have control over because it is all about our attitude.
Boy, I have to say, this is not the usual fare that I think of movie makers reading. It's Bertrand Russell on the nature of happiness.
Yeah, I know. A lot of movies seem to be, you know, based on comic books.
Well, this is why we haven't made a lot of money, probably.
But the good news is it seems you can freely rip off philosophical texts without anyone ever knowing.
So was it actually useful to go back to this book by Bertrand Russell on the nature of happiness? I mean, did that actually help as you were thinking about putting this movie together?
It did. Especially, you know, the book has a lot of chapters examining the notions of envy, for example, and we have a whole character, Alan Arkin's character, that certainly represents envy. Guilt is another, you know, sort of mindset we have control over. That would be, I think, Matthew's character best represents that.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yes, Matthew McConaughey. And boredom is one, and I think that was relates to John Turturro's character.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me talk about some of these. You've already mentioned this optimist, this guy who is nicknamed in the office Smiley, because he's always smiling, and he's working in an insurance office trying to figure out small claims. And his boss is Alan Arkin, who is not at all this way. And it's this wonderful dynamic, because the happier Smiley is, it just drives Alan Arkin nuts. And it's just, it's to the point where he ends up firing Smiley because he just sort of can't take it anymore.
Right. And he can't even admit to himself that that's why he fired him. I think he found a couple legitimate reasons to maybe hasten his exit from that world. But, I mean, Arkin's response is a response that Karen and I feel a lot.
Well, I think it's kind of human nature to, you know, when you're unhappy and everyone around you is really happy, it's like, you know,
you
it's hard to
them.
Be happy for them even if you really like them. So
yeah.
Now, the other question that the movie raised, for me at least, was whether someone can make his own luck. The optimist, Smiley, for instance, who just goes through life with a smile on his face, even when the worst things happen to him after he's fired, he somehow manages to turn that, to see the positive side of it in some way. And he lands on his feet in the end. Nice things happen to him. And it does raise the question of whether, if you sort of believe that, will nice things happen to you?
I think he will escape life completely unscathed. You know, he's the kind of, almost like in a cartoon, I think he'd be the one that walks by a window and a piano falls out right in back of him, and he never even turns around or knows about it. So he's really, in a way, the blind optimist, but that's the ultimate goal, I think.
And I actually wrote the script with Jill from more of a pessimistic point of view, because I'm kind of a glass half empty person. And Jill's always saying, don't think horrible thoughts, because then they're going to happen. So I think it's, you know, I do try to make a conscious effort now to think good things.
Think positive, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Alan Arkin character, the guy who just can't stand Smiley, this eternal optimist, you really resonate with him.
Actually, yes. I think you might say that I'm a jealous person. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I really identify with his character.
Karen Sprecher. She and her sister Jill are the creators of the independent film 13 Conversations About One Thing. They spoke with Steve Paulson. So here's a clip from the film featuring the Alan Arkin character, whom Karen identifies with. In this scene, Alan Arkin's character is talking to a colleague about someone else they work with, Smiley Bowman.
I don't get it. Am I missing something? Bowman just glides through life without a care in the world. He's out all day looking at leaky roofs, dented cars, looking at other people's misery. He comes back, he's smiling. Smiling.
And if I didn't know better, I'd think that you were jealous.
Excuse me? Did I hear you correctly? Did you say you think I'm jealous of Smiley Bowman?
No, I just meant, why let a guy like that bother you?
Because he's average, that's why. He sits behind his desk all day, rushes home exactly at 5 to his wife and his kids, messes around with his garden. He's got no vision. He's got no drive.